You should be your own health advocate. Do your research and don't wait unto others to tell you what's good for you. That's some of the advice you will be taking away from today's episode of the You Soulful Genius podcast from my guest. Stay tuned.
You're listening to You Soulful Genius podcast, a show about highlighting the genius within every one of us through acts of creating a world of balance, truth, and conscience. This is Mutia Tadaboale, your host.
Hello, welcome to the You Soulful Genius podcast. Today on You Soulful Genius podcast, I've got Ronnie Loiza. She is a Fab After 50 women wellness coach. Ronnie helps women to be strong, sexy, fit, and confident. She helps them to create better lifestyle habits, to have time and energy for fun, family, fitness, career, and thrive. I know that you are also waiting to hear from Ronnie because she's got so much to let us into today. So I'm going to give it to Ronnie to introduce herself, tell us all the magic she brings to the world. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Ronnie. I'm really pleased to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. I love speaking with women, men as well, just about not only thriving, but okay, where do you start? All right, I'm a Fab After 50s women's wellness coach because I'm 56. I just turned 56 this summer. And the main thing is health. And health is comprised of not just fitness and exercise, nutrition, but mindfulness, a vision, a mission, self-care. It is comprised of everything. And you know, Mutiette, isn't it different when you were, a teenager and you had the whole world just at your doorstep and you had all these dreams and all these giggly moments and of course all these fears. And in your 20s, you're just like, okay, what am I going to be when I grow up? You know, and what am I striving for? Well, things change and evolve. And that's why people always say, if I knew then what I know now, wow. You just have all this wealth of experience and skinning your knees and emotional bruises. So, you know, what my vision was in my 20s, and I don't know about you, has really grown and evolved. It's like, wow, I'm a strong, powerful woman. We all are. So for me, health and nutrition has evolved. You know, back in my 20s, I just wanted to look good by the swimming pool, right? I just wanted to look cute in that mini dress. But now for me, strong is sexy, strong physically, strong in my constitution, strong in my mindset. So that's why I'm evolving as I go. So please, you know, help me to stop and ask questions if you'd like. But I do want to say that I was not a big athlete or into fitness or a gym rat or anything. No, I mean, I danced as a young girl. I took ballet for 9 years and I was a small town ballet company. But really, I was the last one picked for softball or, you know, dodgeball. And I got to be a personal trainer in the ripe old age of 46. Wow. Because of some health issues. I was just aging and I started to feel it. I started to feel it in my hip. I started to feel it in my glutes. And I came to find out that I had degenerative disc disease. Well, as you get older, especially in your 40s, you start losing that liquid in between your vertebrae. And that's degenerative disc disease. And I'm pretty short. In the UK, I forget how much I am. I think I'm 63, what would you be, millimeters? I'm 5'2". I'm 62. I'm a little shorter and my spine was a little shorter, but it really affected my body and I was hurting. And after, you know, 5 chiropractors, acupuncture, decompression, one doctor just wanted to write me pain meds. I finally found someone, like a year later who said, it sounds like you just need to change your lifestyle and know how to work out. I'm like, I know how to work out. I jog, I do aerobics, you know. So he put me with a corrective exercise specialist, personal trainer. Within 2 weeks, I didn't hurt anymore. And I swear, Mutiette, before I felt like I needed a crane to get me out of bed, my back hurt. Mm. And I was sleeping with a pillow under my legs. I just learned how to do proper weight training. So I was so into it. I worked with her for a year and I would always ask her questions and talk about physical fitness and health. And she said, you need to become a personal trainer. You need to be a personal trainer because in your 40s, women are going to relate to you. You're your own walking billboard. Well, you know, I was like thinking about it. I'm like, you know, I don't know fitness. I'm not, you know, I'm not one of those bodybuildings or swimsuit competition kind of girls. But then, you know, I thought she was right. I woke up one day and I thought, what do I want to be when I grow up next 20 years? I think I want to be a personal trainer. So I've been a personal trainer for the past decade. And I started coaching, and that's different, women, you know, at the onset of this pandemic, but really in the fall. And what I mean by coaching is really listening and being present and starting to ask people, you know, whatever it is for them. I won't get too detailed, but whatever is coming up for them and in their lives. What happened is a lot of women, especially last summer and in the fall, we went through a lot of changes. And even if you pulled your big girl pants up and took care of business, there was anxiety in your body.
Sure.
Because you're taking care of new things with that pandemic. And for most of my clients, the kids were home and going to school on Zoom, and the partners were home, and everybody was working off the dining room table. And there was just a lot to take care of. Things have changed since then. But back then, way back then, not even a year ago, women were trying to keep their jobs, whether they were the boss, there was a CEO, and they had to take care of business and like change the whole structure around, and people were depending on them, or you just wanted to be available all the time, you know, and there were no barriers. You were still answering emails at 9 at night because you didn't want to lose your job. You didn't want to be indispensable. So we went through a lot last year, and I was really there talking to women, and I've become a coach. Mostly what that is comprised of is having women really see, okay, what is troubling you? But you have to start at the foundation. Go back to like when you were your 20s. What are your big dreams? But mostly set your mission statement. Who do you want to be? Not what do you want to be? Not a title, not a walking resume. Who do you want to be? What kind of woman? It's like a company, Nike, Microsoft, whatever, sets a mission statement when they start their company. And everything comes out of that. Every goal, every project, every yearly vision, everything comes out of who do you want to be? What kind of person do you want? What are your values? What are your dreams? Okay. So when we start from there, life gets a lot easier, meaning you have more clarity. It's like, okay, what kind of person and human being and woman do I want to be? Now, family, relationships, love, sex, romance, career, all of the health. And then we get into, you know, I have most women just want to get back into health because exercise, nutrition, all that falls by the wayside at the end of the day. It's like you're tired and you're not thinking. You're looking in the refrigerator thinking, what do I want to eat while you're eating some chips? Or you know you want to work out, but all of a sudden 5 days have gone by and that's always the first thing dropped off a busy schedule. So we got to get you in the right mindset that it's a lifestyle. We weren't born wanting to work out. We weren't born craving certain things. We were conditioned, whatever your family fed you, those are the cravings that you developed. And our cravings change as we get older. And also our habits. You are nothing but a walking blob of habits. Definitely. What you do every day is who you are. That's your identity.
That's it.
But I'll let you cut in here because boy, did I ramble. But that's how I have evolved into a Fab After 50s women's wellness coach because I am 56. And before then I was like, well, what do I call myself? I guess a fitness and lifestyle because it all is part of your lifestyle, how you live your life daily. From the moment you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you do? And you go to bed at night thinking, wow, I've had a good day.
My goodness, I can see that. I can see the energy. I can see the beauty, the sparkle. Goodness, that is so beautiful. And thank you for everything that you do. So I was just asking, you know, you started this health and wellness journey about a decade ago. And so when you started at that time, did you have a mission apart from you wanted to help yourself? Did you have any other mission to, or did you have that vision seeing yourself where you are today?
Well, when I started over a decade ago as a personal trainer, I just became one out of being in public relations and I was a journalist. And so I had nothing to do with fitness, but I learned, and I guess it was what made me a good reporter at the time is I always asked why, and what I didn't know, I would find out. And I wanted to disseminate that information and correct information, right? So it was a perfect transition to being a personal trainer because I wanted to help women who just, not just women, but men as well. I mean, I trained men for many, many years. Now I've gone more the road of women, but I wanted people to know how to exercise. That was back then, how to exercise and how to exercise properly. You don't have to spend hours at the gym and you don't have to hate it. Plus, I was experiencing tendonitis, tennis elbow. No, I didn't play tennis, but that's what we call it. I was experiencing a bad knee. I've gone through everything in the past decade, from a torn meniscus to having overcalcification in the hip. So they thought they had to do hip surgery. When they opened me up, they just found overcalcification. So you can have too much calcium. Also, I tend to have osteopenia, which can turn into osteoporosis. So I have to really watch it. And weight training is what saved me, because that builds, that boosts your metabolism. I mean, we're going to get into all that, but it boosts your metabolism so that it helps your bone density. Metabolism isn't just to burn fat. It also helps your cardiovascular system. And most importantly, metabolism is just a synonym for hormones. And listen up, if you're in your 20s and 30s, you should work on your metabolism now. Now is the time. Your baby making ages. You set yourself on the right course, you will go through menopause much better. So I got into fitness. My mission then was just being a really good trainer, especially for busy, busy people who just, oh, I don't want to walk into that gym, to get them into the habit of doing it and doing it properly. Then I became certified as a senior fitness specialist, because I thought, well, as I get older, that was more a business sense of me. But as I get older, in my 60s, I want to be my own walking billboard. If people see me in shape and in good health, they'll believe me and they'll relate to me more, and I relate to them. So I became a senior fitness specialist in my 40s. And then I also, as you go along in your profession, you have to keep recertifying. So you have continuing education courses. So I was certified in MMA, mixed martial arts, how to train people who do martial arts, not for me to do martial arts, but how to train people. I was certified in women's fitness. I got a nutrition certification, TRX, all that sort of thing. The latest thing that I was certified in, because I had to recertify, was corrective exercise. So as I go along in this journey, I go along with what's happening in my life and what interests me and what I want to know more about. I even got certified in pre-postnatal because I kept getting, like, once a year, someone who would either wanted to become pregnant or get pregnant or was pregnant. So I did all this research. I thought, if I'm doing all this homework, I may as well get certified for it. So I studied, took a course, passed, and I'm still studying with that. I have found, Mediat, women, although billions of women around the face of the earth have had babies forever, every woman I have ever helped is different. Oh my God, every pregnancy has been so unique and an eye-opener. Every woman's different and has a different experience with it. But we go back to hormones and your family history and your medical history. Every woman is so different. So back then, my mission was just getting people that didn't feel like they were athletes, or didn't feel like they knew what to do at the gym, or didn't feel like going, get in better health. Whether it's your cholesterol, whether it's your blood pressure, whether it's too much body fat, everybody always goes in to lose weight. But then they find, you know, that affects everything else in their life. Now my mission is to help women understand, get the right information, the facts about medicine and health, from metabolism to hormones to all of that, and weight loss, nutrition, but also for support, for community, and for mindset. I know that mindset has become like the word this past year, but it's true. You need to really discover yourself and look into yourself and explore what it is you want. It's not, you're not going to die and think, oh, I lost 25 pounds and have that on your tombstone, or I lost 5 pounds. How do you want to live the rest of your life? How do you want to feel, and how do you want to thrive? How do you want to feel, not just physically, but spiritually? What I mean by spiritually is your attitude, your character, your personality, your vibe. And how do you want to be around other people? As you know, people don't remember you for how you looked. I mean, some people do, but they don't remember you for your weight. They remember you for the memories and how they felt around you. So what kind of vibe do you want to put out? Who do you want to be, and how do you want to be?
Definitely, definitely. That is really, really core, you know, to who we want to be and how we continue to grow and evolve. You said something about metabolism. You know, I've heard, because I'm over 40, and I was once told that it is a lot difficult for you to lose weight once you get to 40. But you talked about, you know, when even in your 20s, you need to start working on your metabolism. So how hard is it for women? Let's start with, you know, women 40 and above. How difficult is it for them to begin to manage their health if they have to wait until 40? You know, what complications may come? What's the cost of having to wait till late to manage your health?
Whatever age you are right now, start today. Whether in your 20s or your 30s, especially in your 30s or your 40s or your 50s or your 60s, you can boost your metabolism at any age, at any fitness level, whatever your medical condition is, if you have one. Boom, bottom line, end of story. So how difficult is it? It starts in your mind. You have to get informed. You have to get the right information. And then you also have to look at your habits and your lifestyle. So, I mean, we could have a whole 2 hours on just metabolism, but basically, I mean, I wish in my 30s, I had eaten a lot cleaner. I started eating more clean. Now I'm not an extreme, just eat, you know, whatever, follow one thing, just keto or just paleo or just raw. No, every diet in the world works if you do it. Diet just means calorie deficit. And some people hate the word calories. I don't know why, because it's just a mathematical ratio. It's how much energy you burn, period, end of story. So that's also, you have to wrap your mind around. It's like, don't hate calories. It's just a thing that you control. You know, whether you eat 100 calorie banana or you eat 100 calorie Twinkie, the Twinkie's going to go through you really fast and then you're going to be hungry again. All right. So to set your metabolism and to boost it, especially towards your 40s, because your hormones are changing, you just have to look at, okay, how many calories does my body need to just survive? Okay. Look at it that way. And then you have to work your muscles, not just cardio, and also eat cleaner and more macro efficient, meaning nutritious, nutrition packed food. Because when you eat a lot of crap, your body doesn't need it. It gets rid of it, but your brain and your body are still going, I still need food. So you probably eat more. So to boost your metabolism, the first thing I think is you should look at what is not just your BMI, but what is my body fat percentage? Everybody thinks that they go by the BMI, the body mass index. Yeah. You and I and somebody else, a third person, could have the exact same BMIs. It's just mass. We're just big walking blobs of mass. We all could have a BMI of 22, let's say, just throwing that number out there. One of us has a body fat. How much of that mass is body fat? Okay, so 17% body fat. Woo, that is lean. That is great. You work out, you take care of yourself. 22 to 25% body fat of that mass is fat. You're healthy. You're okay. You're average. 32% of that mass is just fat. That's obese. So we could all have the exact same BMI, but how much of that mass or your body is made of fat? Look at that. Then you have to see, well, am I working my muscles? And that doesn't mean bodybuilding or just weight training. It means working each muscle in your body minimum twice a week. So some trainers say, do a full body workout with every single muscle 2 or 3 times a week. I like to do it because I don't like to spend more than half an hour working out, sometimes 45 minutes, sometimes 20 minutes. I like to do 2 major muscles a day. That's it. Like today's just glutes. Tomorrow could be biceps, chest, and shoulders. That's 3 muscles. One day triceps and back, and then I throw in calves and abs. Know what I mean? So because I like to spend less time, but every day. So you get the right training, you set the right schedule, because when you work your muscles, they need to recuperate. And they tap your metabolism going, hey, feed me, I need energy. So for 24 to 48 hours, your muscles are burning fat, because fat is energy. That's revving up your metabolism. Your metabolism is working for 2 days, feeding those muscles so they'll recuperate. Now, cardio is important for your cardiovascular to take oxygen and all the nutrients around your body. But just calorie burning, unless you do HIIT is high intensity interval training, or now it's called high intensity continued training, or unless you do something intense like sprinting and all that, and a lot of it, you're not going to burn as much calories as you do weight training. So cardiovascular is important for your hormones. Yes. And you have to, the way you work your cardiovascular system is you get really, really high. You have your heart rate go up and then back down, up and back down, up and back down. But just doing cardio and how most people maybe do it, are they get on the treadmill and you see them on their phones and they're texting or they're reading a magazine or they're listening to something. Then they'll break into a little jog or a little stride on the elliptical and then they go back or they stay on the bike for the same pace. No, that's nice. You burn 300 calories, but that's it. And then once you get off that bike or that elliptical or that treadmill, it stops. It's like when you're driving your car, you're burning gas. You turn off your car, it stops burning gas. It's not like weight training. When you work your muscles, you're burning gas for 24 to 48 hours. So you need to comprise of both. Now, cut me off when you need to, but metabolism is also comprised of sleep. Oh my God, I don't get enough sleep. I know I sleep only 6 to 7 hours. I'm in bed for about 7 hours, but I know me. It takes me a good half hour to fall asleep. I'll be reading something. In the morning, my eyes pop up and I start thinking before that alarm goes off. But women especially need to sleep. So start that now in your 20s and 30s. I know I used to study at 10 at night and stay up till 1 in the morning. I wish I knew then what I know now. But you can always restart. Because when you're sleeping, that's when your body takes care of business in there. It cleans it out. It restores everything from your brain to your hormones. And you have two main hormones. Leptin, just think la, 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 lullaby. You produce a lot of leptin when you are sleeping. Ghrelin is the hormone that tells you, I'm hungry, feed me. So ghrelin, just think of the gremlins, and leptin, think of lullaby. All right, so when you sleep, your body produces more leptin, telling your metabolism, don't feed, I'm not hungry. We're sleeping, we're hibernating, we're taking care of business inside, restoring everything and repairing so that you're not hungry overnight. But most people who don't sleep enough, they get 4 or 5 hours a night, they have more ghrelin because their body was producing ghrelin, plus you're awake and then you start producing more ghrelin. And so have you ever had like moments of you think, oh my God, I'm so hungry. Oh, I need some energy. So you keep drinking that coffee, you eat that energy bar, you pick up the chips. It's not that you need energy from food. You needed more sleep. So that boosts your metabolism if you get enough sleep. Also, when you sleep, leptin helps bone density, back to that bone density, which is really important because as you get older, you start losing not just body mass, which are your muscles, you start losing bone density. So as we get older in our 30s, not so much, but you start losing a little bit of body mass, which is muscle mass, I should say, not body mass, muscle mass. So if you're losing muscle mass, you have a lower metabolism. That's what happens. So then you start getting more body fat. In your 40s, that's when it really kicks in. You really start losing muscle mass. So that's why you need to work your muscles. Also, you start losing bone density. That's why you need to do some weight training. And jogging and all that does help in your bone density, but not as much. And again, cut me off when you have to, because I can go on forever with this. But in your 40s, start boosting it up. Now, I help people in their 50s, in their 60s, booster metabolism, and boom, we get there. It's just metabolism is a synonym for hormones. You can regauge your hormones. Now, you should also go to your doctors, plural, different kinds of practitioners to get a hormone test and see where your hormones are and where your hormone levels are. Because some people say, oh, well, I must have a bad thyroid. You don't know that. You might be hypothyroid. You might be hyperthyroid. You might not have any of that. A lot of people think, well, I have a slow metabolism. I'm getting older. What are you going to do? Do something about it. You can. Don't blame it on that. You can boost your metabolism.
Wow. That is so epic. Thank you so much. I hear you say, you know, do your weight loss, work on your
weight training. Yeah.
Weight training. So, and you talked about cardio and you talked about, because I hate HIIT training, because I know I do a lot of HIIT training. I try to do those. So
why do you hate it, hon? Why do you hate it? What about it do you think you hate?
No, I do a lot of HIIT training.
HIIT. I'm so sorry. Yes.
HIIT training, yes. So what's the difference between doing HIIT training? Because I know it's like quick, you know, very, very active. What's the difference between that and doing weight training?
Well, you're not working your muscles the same way. HIIT is just a fast twitch. Your muscle goes bang, 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 bang. It's like a rubber band, right? That's one way of using your muscle, but it's not adding force or resistance. It's great because it's high intensity. Therefore, you're really getting your heart rate up and your blood's going. That's heart rate. You're using your muscles to raise your heart rate. Okay. So unless you're using like CrossFit, I gotten a lot of clients out of CrossFit because instructors are not watching them. So that's a bad CrossFit class. CrossFit is great, but if you don't have the right instructor who's really watching you, you can get injured. So unless you're doing weights with that HIIT training, then you're not going to work your muscle in the same way. That's called fast twitch. Just think of a rubber band. You're going boing, you know, you're stretching it really fast and it contracts, which is great. But that's one way. Look at a marathoner. They do endurance training. A marathoner, cross country, kayaking, all that. They're doing endurance with their bodies. Look at their bodies. They're lean. They're not big and bulky. And they don't want to be because they don't want that big bulky muscle that weighs a lot more. So they're doing endurance, which means how long of a time will your muscle work that way? Know what I mean? Fast twitch is like a pole vaulter or a sprinter. It's like, boom, fast, and then stop. So that's a different way of using your muscle. In weight training, you put force on it, whether it's using a resistance band, your body weight, and then the plates and the cables and all that. You're making it take on more weight and going, oh, I got to push this force or I got to pull this force. Okay. So there are three different types. There's power, there's endurance, which is length of time, and then there's force, which is strength. That's the difference. You need all of them. Like I hate sprinting, but once in a while I'll do a sprint. Like I'll do a month of just sprints, or I'll do a month of just jump in that pool and do fast laps just to get my body going, oh, this is different. You know what I mean? And to be able to do it. That's why variety is key. Variety is key. People that do nothing but yoga, yoga is beautiful and wonderful. And it's great, especially for the breathing and the flexibility. But if you just do yoga, that's not enough. Or if you just do Pilates, I love Pilates. It's great core strength. It's great rehabilitation for the muscles, but it's not weight training. And I love weight training, but I know I have to do my cardio. So variety is key.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Thank you so much for, you know, this wealth of knowledge you're sharing, because just as you said, there is so much misinformation out there, yeah. And people need to get it right so that, you know, you can get something that's customed to you to help you and help your health. So apart from, you know, training, physical training, what else can we do to help, you know, women with, you know, hormone balances and metabolism? How does, for example, you said something about nutrition. How about supplements? Is it any good at all?
Of course they are. That's why they came up. Yeah. Well, even our mothers and our grandmothers and our great-great-grandmothers, they, what we now call supplements, they had their great herbs. They were finding out, oh, this helps my tummy. This chamomile really helps. You know, I take this, the ginger, it really helps boost my mind, you know, brain fog. I do want to touch back on in your 30s. And 20s, that's when a lot of people go with the fads, like the CrossFits and the boot camps and the challenges. This is the time in your 20s and 30s to start finding out what you like to do, because you're more likely to do it the rest of your life, you know, and train yourself so that you can go skiing, train yourself so you can go surfing, find activities. In other words, this is the time in your 20s and 30s that being active and doing some kind of exercise should become a part of your lifestyle, not an added thing. And it helps you in your studies and in when you start entering your career. Exercise actually helps your hormones, helps your productivity, that's been proven, your clarity of mind, and your attitude. So that's great at any age for every woman. As far as supplements, and this is why before I said talk to your doctors, because I do believe me, Dad, and in having everyone that's in your health team, be a team. In other words, not just your OBGYN, but your internist, your general practitioner, your medical doctor, your naturopathic doctor, your chiropractor, your acupuncturist, your massage therapist, your physical therapist, you know, your pelvic floor therapist, if you're going through pregnancy, heck, even your hairdresser, everyone should be your team, your yoga instructor, your Reiki master. They should be all working for you. I just have in my coaching, this is what I found, which has really been an eye-opener. We're all smart, intelligent women, but for some reason, we just kind of accept what our doctor tells us, leave that office, and we didn't know anymore. Like, well, did you talk to him about this and that? No, because we don't know what to ask, or exactly. We just think they're the experts. It's like, okay, well, my doctor said, yes, they went to med school, but they did their homework. You should too. We should be our own health advocates and make everyone around us our team. So when it comes to supplements, don't just go to WebMD or go to Google or go by what your girlfriend's doing. Really ask your entire team and then know your body. Know what you need. Like, I don't need calcium. Why? Because I have a tendency to over-calcificate. I have a tendency to just either pee it out or I get too much calcium. So I know my body. Also, as far as why are you taking that calcium? Why are you taking creatine? I don't know. Somebody said it was good. Creatine is like all of a sudden people started taking it to work out because they thought it would burn more fat. Yes, creatine helps your liver. Your own liver creates creatine. Bodybuilders started using it because it helps them, their own bodies create the creatine. Know what I mean? But know why you're taking something. Don't just go by the ad or because your friend said, hey, this will help you burn fat or this will be a metabolism booster. Well, what makes a metabolism booster? Know what I mean? Do your homework. So know why you're taking their supplements and go for that. Like everybody started taking melatonin about 10 years ago. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Whether you needed it or not. It's like, oh, this will help me sleep. And it's natural. It's not a sleeping pill. Well, you can overdo the melatonin. You know, maybe you just need valerian. Maybe you just need chamomile. Maybe you just need vervain. Maybe you just need to turn off the computer and your cell phone and read or meditate or your chant or something. Do that instead of taking something. Know what I mean? So you should talk to a naturopathic doctor. You should talk to your MD. You should do your homework and ask, what is this for? And then supplements are wonderful. But find out what they do and what they're for.
Wow, thank you so much. I can see you embody all of this wellness theme and you're so conscious about it. I have seen women who try as much as possible. You know, they get at it. I want to be healthy. I want to be well. I want to manage my health and be okay, that sort of thing. And then they stop. They get at it. They stop. They just can't continue. They can't maintain, you know, being steadfast on becoming as well and as healthy as they would like to be. So what can you say to them? How can they, you know, just get into that journey and just continue to be as healthy and well as they want to be? What can you say to them?
The thing I'm finding and what turned me into a coach, I say my clients turn me into a coach. They body slam me into, no, they lend me an ear. The thing, the common thread I find is you can't do it alone. As much as you think I'll work on my own, the price you pay is the cheaper you are or the more lone wolf you are. If you think I can do it alone, I can follow this online, I don't want to pay a trainer, or I don't want to pay a coach or a lifestyle coach, or I don't want to spend money, or I don't want to spend time. Time is of the essence. You pay the price later. People need support. Human beings need mental, emotional support. I can see objectively where you can tweak something, you need support in something, even though you probably know all this. And then you can look at me and say, Ronnie, I support you in this. I support you in this. That's why accountability buddies and coaches have become so wanted. I mean, people are really seeking the help of coaches because they can't do it alone. I mean, look, we just watched the Olympics, right? I was listening to an interview of this swimmer who, I mean, you think about it. They train and they work out every day. You know, they go to practice. So you think, well, they're the experts. They know their bodies. They know what they're doing, but they need their coach watching them to say, okay, did you feel this? When I heard in the interview her say, my coach, I was doing this lap and my coach's like, well, did you feel this? The word feel really got my attention, because you have to internalize, how did I feel? Where was my mind while they were swimming? You think it's all physical, and they tweak something and bam, it helped her speed. Which was amazing to me. It's like a coach sees what you don't see, even though you might be good at something. And a coach tells you, okay, how did you do this? How do you do that? How do you feel about this? So to answer your question, you really do need help. So start looking at what kind of help. If it's not a coach, maybe group coaching, maybe a support group, an accountability buddy, journaling, somebody to keep you accountable. And not to call you out, but to help you express what it is that you want in your thinking. And also to help you make certain lifestyle habits Again, habits are a culmination of little things. What most people do, from what I'm hearing from you, is they try, okay, I'm going on this Optavia diet. Now I'm going to be sued by them. Or I'm going on this whatever, Jenny Craig diet. Bam, bam, bam. It helps you for a while. Then you're off the diet and boom, you gain it again. Because it was just a temporary thing. It was just a plan. Really, what you are is a whole life full of habits. So how about building good habits, creating them? And the only way that you build a habit is doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it, and you keep on. Exactly. That's it. Bottom line. So that's where the emotional support and accountability come in, because we do build habits, and you can get rid of bad cravings. You can get rid of bad habits. People do it all the time, but it's by little increments, and that's how you sustain it.
Wow. Thank you so much. That is really, really helpful. Thank you so much. You shed so much, you know, light on that. And I can see your passion with people, you know, helping people and just wanting people, women in particular, and men, I suppose, to be healthy and well. Wow. Thank you so much. We're going to be wrapping up soon. But before we do, I'd like you to tell me, what makes you a soulful genius?
Soulful genius. I've never been asked that. I've never been asked if I'm a genius, other than sarcastic. I guess genius is, and tell me if I'm wrong, but genius to me is somebody like, boom, something sparks in their head and they go for it. You know, like Thomas Edison, I'm going to go for this. I'm going to fail and fail. I'm going to go for this, but I'm going to keep going. Or Ben Franklin, you know, or whoever.
There is a genius within every one of us.
Yes. And when something sparks you, whether it's an idea or a dream or a wish, get that genie in the bottle. Be a genius in like, I'm going to explore that. Maybe not, oh, I'm going to pursue that and every wish and dream that sparks up in you right away, but I'm going to explore that. So what makes me a soulful genius is I get help in, you know, from my girlfriends and from my mastermind group. I get help in exploring myself and calling me out. And then I'm not afraid to pursue what I think this is viable. I mean, who knew in my 40s I would become a personal trainer? Who knew in my 50s I would become a coach? Who knew all this would happen? You know, and so what makes me a soulful genius is that I'm persistent, that I'm okay going past that fear, even though I admit it, I'm fearful. Oh my God, this is new. And I am tenacious. If nothing else, I'm persistent and tenacious. So you don't have to be wonderful at something right away. What makes me a soulful genius is that within my soul, it's like, okay, if it's not doable, I'll find out. But on the way of discovering what's doable and not doable for me, I find out what I am good at. And things come out of that.
Well done. Thank you so much. And just to let you know, for putting yourself out there, shining your light, paving the way for other people to shine their light, you are a soulful genius. And I am so honored to have you on this show. Thank you so much for coming on this show. And this is where we're going to be ending this episode of the You Soulful Genius. And until I see you again, you keep being the best of who you are. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you for listening to the You Soulful Genius podcast. Please do share, subscribe, and get in touch with us. To learn more about the You Soulful Genius podcast, visit creativebusinesssuite.com. And do not forget to join us next week for another beautiful episode of the podcast.